All right. Morning, everybody. What's that? All right. Okay. Everybody's... Find your pen now. Oh, good. All right, we open up our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. We can get back into where we pick up to where we stopped last week. And actually remember to put the verse up on the board, so take it apart a little easier. And why don't we open up with a word of prayer, and then we can get into our study today. Oh, dear Lord, we just praise you and thank you for the gift of music and how that... You've given man the ability to compose and us voices to sing and lift our hearts and make melody unto you. What a wonderful blessing that is. We, as we do it, to honor you and all that you've done in your majesty. And what a wonderful treat it is for us to sit in awe of you. And as we come before your word, may we be obedient to it and take it to heart. And realize that you've laid out your will for us in your word. And as we study it, we're to take that information and make, by faith, make it a reality in our lives. And then be obedient into it during the week and days of our lives. In your name, amen. All right. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. We started this last week. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And what we're doing here and over the next couple of weeks is taking some time to understand what the will of the Lord is. And can it be known? And if it can be known, can we do it? And so, as we enter into the Scriptures, we're going to see what God's will is for us. And last week, we talked a little bit about why it's important to understand what the will of the Lord is. We talked about how God calls you unwise if you don't understand it. He calls you uneducated, a fool, basically, if you don't understand what the will of the Lord is. And God's taken great pains in order to detail down to us in the Scriptures what His will is. And we saw last week how you can find His will, and it's in the Bible, or as it's called, the Scriptures. And we saw that last week, how God's will is laid out for man through the Scriptures. And that by reading the Scriptures, we can become wise by understanding God's will. And once we understand God's will, it's His objective, that it's our responsibility to take it and to do it. We saw that in Ephesians 6, verse 6, where it says, "Not with eye service as man-pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." And that's what God expects us to do. Not only to understand it, but then to actually go out and do it. I wanted to look over in Colossians chapter 1. Why don't we just start in Colossians chapter 1 for a second. About this issue of the will of the Lord. Because there's such a thinking in Christendom, and even in the unsaved world, that God's will is some mystical... got to feel for it, got to try and find it, got to get in touch with nature, got to get in touch with your inner self to see what God's will is for your life. And that's not how Scripture lays out God's will. God's will is to be known. And in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, Paul writes, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and the desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, be fruitful in every good work, and increasing the knowledge of God." You see in verse 9 there, he says his desire, he's praying for these saints, and his desire is that they might be filled with the knowledge of His will. That was Paul's understanding. Paul's understanding is that God's will is understandable. And He expects it to fill our lives in wisdom and spiritual understanding. And the reason we do this is in verse 10, "that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing." You see, if you don't understand the Lord's will, you can't walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. See, it'll only be through His will that you can accomplish verse 10, "that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing the knowledge of God. You can't increase in your knowledge of God if you don't understand His will, is what He's telling you there. And you can search all you want, and you can try and get in touch with your inner self, and you can try and do whatever the world has you to do, just to search out God's will. But if you don't get it from the Scriptures, and you don't understand it, you will not increase in your knowledge of God. You can't. It's unprofitable. Go turn over to Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. In Colossians 4:12, he talks about Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervent for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. You see how God's will is laid out? All of it is there for us to know. There's nothing missing. There's nothing that God hasn't laid out. There's no part of God's will you can't understand for your life. Because in verse 12 it says, that this Epaphras is praying fervently for you in prayers that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. God's will is laid out. And it can be found. And He expects us to find it. He expects us to study it. And then He expects us to do it. And all that will allow us to please God and be fruitful to the Lord. And without an understanding of that, you can't please God and you can't be fruitful. And your good works will not be according to the works that God wants us to do. So this is why it's very important for us to study and to understand what God's will is. Because with an improper understanding of it, you can't please Him appropriately. And your good works won't be the works that God would want you to do. So that's why, to me, this subject is important to learn and to understand. Last week, we started to go over some verses, and we saw the importance of knowing God's will. We saw the importance of when Noah was building his ark. It was very important for Noah to build that ark and to understand God's will, because what happened when the flood came? If Noah would have been delinquent in understanding God's will, or let's say if Noah would have built a boat a little different than what God told him to build. Let's say he decided, he looked at the plans God gave him, and he said, you know, I think I can do better. Instead of a big rectangle or box, I think I'm going to, you know, have an open bow and put some other, you know, sail mast on it or something. Well, it wouldn't have worked out quite well for Noah. You see, it's very important that you study, that you follow His will meticulously and correctly. And the consequences of not following God's will are deadly. They were deadly in Noah's time. They were deadly in Adam's time. We looked in Jeremiah and how when Nebuchadnezzar came against the city of Jerusalem, Jeremiah rose up and he told the people, if you want to live, you have to go out and live amongst the Chaldeans. But if you don't and you stay here and you fight them, you're going to die. See, the consequences of God's will and understanding it and following it are serious. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah 23. I want to make a point again. We hit this just at the end. But if you don't follow His will, you will be unprofitable. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 25. I have heard what the prophet said. And that prophesied lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed and I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the seed of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rocks in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophet, saith the Lord, that steal my words every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophet, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, He saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord.
And when this people or the prophet or a priest shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt say unto them, what burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. You see in verse 33, they caused my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. I sent them not nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all. You see, the importance of understanding God's will is that if you don't, you will have no profit. We saw in Colossians chapter 4 that understanding God's will allows you to please God and allows you to bring good fruit unto Him. Turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 12. In 1 Samuel chapter 12. See, if you're not in God's will, your efforts are going to be unprofitable. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 20, and Samuel said unto the people, fear not, ye have done all this wickedness. Yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things, which cannot profit you, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. You see, if you turn aside from God's will to the left or to the right, you know what's going to happen? You're going to become unprofitable. That's why it's really important that we understand what God's will is. If you want your life to be profitable, if you want to be able to look back on years of your life and say that what you have done is what the Lord wanted you to do, you have to understand His will. And if you don't, you're going to be unprofitable. Turn back over to Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2. Verse 8. The priest said not, where's the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked after things that do not profit. You see, if you're not following the Lord's will, you can't profit in life. Well, you might think you are by looking at your circumstances, and we're going to get to some of these passages a little bit later on how you see if you're in the Lord's will. But it's very important for us to just initially, as we enter into these things, to understand that this is a very important subject, and that if you want your life to bring forth the good fruit that God wants you to, you have to understand what His will is. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, and the promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. See, godliness is profitable. And as we go into this, we're going to see what godliness is and how godliness is taking God's will and doing the things that God would want you to do. And it's profitable unto all things, for the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Godliness will help you, by following His will help you in the life that now is, and the one that is to come. Not only when you wake up tomorrow, but also help us when we wake up in heaven's glory. And that's why this is a very important subject to understand appropriately and correctly. You see, because there's another will out there that is countering God's will. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, turn there. 2 Timothy 2, verse 26. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26, or verse 25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You know whose will that is at the end there? That's the devil's will. Well, what you're going to see is that there's not only God's will, but there's one opposed to it. And that's going to be called, if I can spell it right, Satan's will. And really what life is, it's a battle between these two wills. And who's going to win? And whose will are we going to follow? is really what it comes down to. When Adam was in the garden, God gave Adam his will. Don't eat of that tree. That was God's will. Satan came, and Satan had another will for Adam to follow. Satan said, eat of the tree. And Adam and Eve had a choice to make. Whose will were they going to become subservient to? Who was going to have the authority in their lives? You know what they chose? They chose Satan's will. And they followed him. If we go back over to Isaiah chapter 14, you'll see in Isaiah 14, the start of this will of Satan, where he says, and we're very familiar with this in verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of heaven. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. You see here? There is a second will out there that people can follow. And it's a satanic will. And any time you're outside of God's will, you're going to be changed there. So let's hope this keeps working right. So I say all that to show the importance of understanding God's will. I took last week and this part of this week just to show the importance of the subject, the importance of understanding His will correctly and following it appropriately, because if you don't, you're going to be doing things that aren't profitable for your life. You're going to be doing things that are satanic in nature, and you're not going to be pleasing unto the Lord. So as we, with all that said, what is God's will for our life? What is it? Let's start there. Let's turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 2. What's the very first thing God would have us to do? 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Wherefore I am ordained a preacher and apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. You see in verse 4 there, who will have all men to be saved? The very first initiative of God's will is that all men be saved. If you want to understand God's will, that's the first step down the path of God's will for mankind, is that all men be saved. This goes back to, if you go back to Titus chapter 1, this goes back to a promise that God promised Himself in eternity past, in Titus chapter 1, verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. You see that in verse 2? In hope of eternal life, promised before the world began. God promised Himself that He would offer eternal life to His creation in eternity past. And God's will is continuing on with that initial will that He set for Himself. And so His the initial step, if you're talking with someone, they say, well, I don't understand God's will. The very first thing you talk with them about is what? Salvation. Because that's the first step of God's will for that person's life. And as we go through this, what we're going to see is that God's will is going to be the same for everybody. It's not, you know, people like to think that God has an individual will for their life. You know, where should I be working? Where should I live? What car should I drive? No, God's will is going to be the same for all men. And we started out here and we see this. God's will for all men is what? That they might be saved. And this will is the same for how many people? For all people. It's not an individual will. God doesn't want some people to be saved and some not. No, God's will is that all men be saved. And this is the very first step. Go to Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8. You see, but God commendeth His love towards us. Verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. See, God's will is that all men receive the free gift unto justification of life. This is His will. So when you're dealing with someone and they're confused about what God's will is, you start them here and you say, God's will for your life is that you believe in Jesus Christ and what He did for you on the cross. See, this will is the same for all men. And you see, this is a will that God set for Himself in eternity past. In eternity past, we read that God made Himself a promise that He was going to offer eternal life. And see, God even takes His own will to heart. And He follows it. Because God willed to Himself, I'm going to give eternal life to my creation. And then what happened with creation? Well, creation sinned against Him. And rebelled against Him. So now how is God going to fulfill that promise He made to Himself? Because He willed to Himself, I'm going to give them eternal life. I'm going to at least have them have the opportunity to have it. But His creation rebels. So He has this promise out there. And was God going to be faithful to His will that He set in eternity past? Yes, He was. And God was faithful to that initial promise. And what He does is that He comes up with a plan in order to fulfill His will. See, God's even faithful to His own will. And we know that that Jesus Christ comes and He's born of Mary. And the reason Jesus Christ came was to do what? Was to fulfill the will of God. You see that? Let's go over to... Okay. This is what I was going to do. Go to Isaiah chapter 43, verse 11. Isaiah 43. You see, what God did... He looks upon men. And He has this will out there to save them. And He looks upon men God understood that He needed to provide Himself a Savior. Isaiah 43, verse 11. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. There's no Savior besides the Lord. See, He looked upon men, and He saw that there was no one down there that was capable of fulfilling His will. If you turn over to Psalms chapter 14, Psalms chapter 14. Verse 1. The fool said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Isn't that interesting, verse 2? The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men. You know, we think that we can run around down here and God doesn't see what we do. But that's not true. Here, verse 2, God had looked down from heaven upon mankind to see if there could be a Savior amongst the men that could save us. But you know what He found? They had all gone aside and turned away from Him. They were all sinners. We were all corrupted. That's why God had to provide Himself a Savior, because He couldn't find one in the earth. He couldn't find a man that could fulfill His will. Turn over to Psalms chapter 39, verse 5. Psalms 39, verse 5. Behold, Thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before Thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. You see, God looks down upon man, and he inspected us, and He said, everybody is vanity. Your works are nothing. There is not a man on the earth that can rise up and fulfill my will. That's why when we read in Isaiah 43, it was God who said, I have to provide myself a Savior. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 9. verse 8. And when he said, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadest pleasure therein, which were offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, God. He taketh away the first, and he established the second. You see, right here you have, let's get up in verse 6. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. You see here, you have a conversation in heaven. They've looked down. There's not a man on the earth that could be the Savior, that could provide for the will of God in saving all men. And Jesus Christ steps forward and he says, lo, I will come and I will do what is written in the book. I will provide the sacrifice so that we can perform the will of God, which is to what? Save men and offer eternal life, which is a will that we established in eternity past. And you see, when God says he willed all men to be saved, you know, it's one thing to put your will out there, but to expect people to be able to do it is another. If I told my sister to do something, like if my will for my sister was to go to the sun and come back to the earth, well, yeah, I can will all that I want, but it's an impossible thing for her to do. And what God has done, though, is he's willed all men to be saved, but it's an impossible event for me to save myself. It's impossible for that to happen. So God not only has a will, but he provides the way for us to accomplish his will. And God looked down on the earth and he saw that there was no man that was able to save us, to fulfill his will. So what God does in his wonderful love and grace and mercy, he establishes and provides provision in order for us to perform his will. And he does that through Jesus Christ. See, it's one thing to say, go do that. If you tell your child, you know, my kids don't drive yet, but if I were to tell one of them, you know, go drive to New York and back, well, they can't. That's a will that they can't perform. And what God does, and that's almost an evil will because they can't do it. But God's will for us is he realized we can't perform his will, but he provides the provisions for us to be able to do it, and that's through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's why in Hebrews 10, when he says in verse 7, then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O Lord. See, Jesus Christ comes in order to do the will of God so we can be partakers in it. And he's born, and if you go over to Matthew 26, fulfilling the will of God was very important to Jesus Christ. Matthew 26, verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto the place with his enemy, and said unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not in temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Verse 42, and he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. See how even when Jesus Christ came, he knew what he was doing. He could have at those moments called for he could have quit and said, I'm not going to go through with this. But he was following a will that he agreed upon in eternity past. And no matter what the cost to him was, he was going to fulfill that will. Even if it meant him, and what it was going to mean to him was suffering our death on the cross. He was going to follow God's will. In verse 45, that's okay, we don't have to go. But the point is here is that Jesus Christ came to do God's will, in order that God's will might be fulfilled, so that we can be partakers of it, so that God can provide the provision for us to become part of God's will. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Verse 4, Galatians 1, 4. Verse 3, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You see that? Christ left heaven's glory in order to save us from our sins. And he gave himself for our sins that he might save us and deliver us from this present evil world. And now when God writes in 1 Timothy chapter 1 or 2 there that he wants all men to be saved, and that's his will, the reason we can partake and become profitable in God's will is because of what? Because of what Jesus Christ did for us and how he gave himself by paying sin's debt. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, we were just there, 1 Timothy 2. Verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. See how Jesus Christ, he gave himself. He is the ransom. For how many people? For all people. See, that's why God's will can be given to all men. It's because Christ gave himself as a ransom for all men. So God not only has a will, but he provides the way for us to be partakers of his will. Because we couldn't do it ourselves. That's how wise God is. That's how the knowledge that God has and his love and his care for us is shown in the fact that he has a will. We can't accomplish that will on our own. So he does everything that's needed by leaving heaven's glory and dying on the cross for us. So he could fulfill that will, and now we can become partakers of that will of God. So when God writes in 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth, that's something that he can really offer us now. God's will now is open for us to enjoy. It's open. The way is made open for us to become takers of his will through Jesus Christ. And he does it through faith. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9, we know the verse. He makes all this available to us, not by our own good works, but simply through faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, he offers us the ability to access his will by faith. God says, you want to partake of my will? My will is that you be saved. I have provided everything so you can be saved. The only thing I ask from you is that you believe and you accept what I have done for you. So the number one point in God's will is that all men be saved. And that's where his will starts. And that's where his will initiates. Is where we start with men. If they ask you, hey, what's God's will? Well, first thing is that you get saved. And then once they get saved, God's got more of his will for us to know and to understand so we can be pleasing unto him in all good works. Go to, where did I put that? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So when you come to God's will and you've got somebody and they get saved, that's a wonderful thing. That's the best place for a person to start following God's will. If you had to start to take the steps of God's will. But the next thing that God would want to have us understand is, well, how do we study his word? And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sultan is our brother. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You see that Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ by who? The will of God. The second thing that God wants us to understand in understanding His will is what? That Paul is your apostle. So number one we had, He wants all men to be saved. Number two is to understand that Paul is our, I know I spelled apostle wrong, something like that. Okay? That's the problem when you're public educated. See, I can blame it on that. You know, my parents didn't homeschool me. I went to public education. I never learned how to spell. Anyway, we learned last Thursday night that I was, what was that word? Dyslexic? Dyslexic. What's that? Dyslexic. When you say everything backwards? Dyslexic? Hey, now, you know. Now my lips can't move with my mouth anymore. Dyslexic. No. Dyslexic? How do you say that? I'm dyslexic. Dyslexic. Right? Okay, something like that. All right. That means when you get confused very easily, I guess. Which is me. So, but the second thing on God's will for us is that you have to understand Paul's your apostle. Because everything else in God's will is going to flow from Him. See, God wants you to be saved, and then that's just the initial, that's the initiation into God's will. Then if you want to know what God's will is in the other areas of your life, now that you're saved, what am I supposed to do? He says, go to my apostle. And why do you do that? Because it's to Paul that God's message of grace is given out. And it's to Paul that God's words and the understanding that He wants the body of Christ to have is found. You aren't going to be able to find His will by trying to become a Jew underneath the Old Testament. You're not going to be able to follow His will if you're studying underneath the wrong apostle. That's really what it is. If you're going to go back to the 12 apostles to find God's will for your life, you know what you're doing? You're outside of God's will. And your life will be unprofitable. You know, I pass a lot of churches coming here. And it'd be very easy to go to one of those because they're packed and people are falling out the seams. Problem is, you know, I have to go to probably one of the biggest churches in the nation to vote. And we were just there voting last week or when we had the elections. And it's a pretty nice place. You know, they're not dumb. I mean, they got the voting booth set up there, and then you've got to walk through their whatever, and it's like, wow, this is pretty nice. But the problem with going to a church like that is that I know their message, and their message comes out of the wrong apostles. And even though they got all the trappings and all the wonderful programs, and, you know, you can walk in there and, you know, just sort of fade away into the crowd and sort of have no problems and be like, you know, a smile on your face. But you know what? I know from God's word that if I did that, my life would be unprofitable. Because I would be learning things underneath the wrong apostleship. Because they don't rightly divide, they don't see that Paul is our apostle. And if they don't do that, I know in my heart that my life will be unprofitable if I were to go there. So I don't. And I know if I were to bring my family there, even though they got wonderful program for them, And I've heard people say, well, I'm going to go to that church because they got the best programs for my kids. Well, I'm sorry. God's word's very clear. You put yourself underneath the outside of God's will, you cannot be profitable. You can't be. So that's why you search for a place to go where God's will is rightly, is correctly seen and taught. And you have to find a place where they understand that Paul is your apostle. Go to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians 2, verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, this is Paul talking, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Neither I received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace, to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. But I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 50 days, but of the other apostles I saw none, save James the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. You see, Paul's apostleship didn't come from the other apostles. It didn't come from being taught by man. It was something new. It was something that Jesus Christ gave to him. He's our apostle. Go to Romans chapter 1, verse 1. You ever wonder why Paul, servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God? If God already had His 12 disciples, 12 apostles working, why would He have to call another one and then separate him out? Which is what he says here. He was separated from those 12. See, those churches that try and put Paul plus the 12 equals God's will, that doesn't work. You can't make that addition because God doesn't. Because Paul was separated from the 12 for something completely different. Go to Romans 11, verse 13. 11, verse 13. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. You see that? Paul's the apostle to who? To the Gentiles. He's the apostle that God separated out from the 12 in order to give him a new message. In order him to that Jesus Christ was going to reveal things to Paul that Paul was going to then detail out to the body of Christ. And if you want to follow God's will in your life after you get saved, you need to understand where your message is coming from, and it's coming from Paul. And if you go to a church or put yourself underneath a ministry that doesn't understand that Paul is your apostle, you cannot be profitable. Your knowledge of God will what? Not increase. It will become warped and corrupted. It will become unprofitable for you. And your life will become a mess. And then you'll be running around searching for God's will because you can't find it. Because you know where you do find it? In the words of Paul. And it's in his words for us today that we find God's will. So the number one will for God, for all men, is what? That all men to be saved. The number two will of God is that you understand that Paul's your apostle. And this one is applicable to everyone. You can't have some people say, well, I'm going to go underneath Paul, and some other people say, well, I'm going to go underneath Peter. No, God's will doesn't change. It's the same for everybody. And that Paul's your apostle is a very important aspect of God's will to understand. So, with that said, Once you understand that you're saved, and that you're saved only through the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's by faith, then you understand that Paul's your apostle. Then you can go into what is, now you can understand, then you can understand what God's will is for your life. And that's what we're going to be going into the next couple of weeks. And we have a week off next week because we have a guest speaker coming. But after that, we're going to go into what is God's will for you in the particulars of your life with, work or with, we're going to talk about forgiveness. What's God's will for you for forgiveness? What's God's will for you for healing? God's got a will for you for your body. God's got a will for you for your relationship with people around you. Those are the things we're going to go into over the next couple of weeks after next week. But I did all that just to get up to that point, just to show the importance of God's will, and the importance of that if you're not in His will, it's unprofitable. And if you make choices that take you out of God's will, your life's not going to work the way it should. So why don't we close in a word of prayer and we can go on from there. Dear Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the clarity it gives. We thank you for laying out your will for us, that we can study it and learn it. And as we learn your will, we're supposed to apply it to our lives and then do it. And your will for all men is that all men be saved. And you make that will available to all men through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. And the only thing you ask is that we believe that. And as your will is becomes more open for us to understand, we realize that Paul is our apostle, and it's going to be through him and him alone that your will is written down for us to follow and to understand and then to go out and do it. In your name, amen.